इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इतिहास पॉडकास्ट। दिस इज अ स्लाइटली डिफरेंट एपिसोड दैन यूजुअल। एज वी कीप रीइटरेटिंग थ्रू आवर अदर एपिसोड्स, दिस पॉडकास्ट डजंट थिंक ऑफ हिस्ट्री एज सम स्टैटिक इवेंट। हिस्ट्री इज फ्लूइड एंड अ वेरी लार्ज पार्ट ऑफ आवर कंटेम्प्ररी लाइफ। स्ट्रेचिंग इट इवन फर्दर, I would say it may also happen that very, very rarely in our lives, it so happens that we are actually living history, as in living in the times which are historic in every way. This current pandemic is one such time. After about 6 months since it began globally, now there are talks about a vaccine which may prove to be the cure to end this pandemic. The quest for this vaccine is currently in the stage of clinical trials. And most of us do not understand, frankly, what it means. So to explain it, to talk about it, I have with me Dr. Sanjay Mahindare. He's a noted epidemiologist, an internationally acclaimed public health researcher, and somebody who has spent an entire career in medical research. And I am very, very lucky to say he is also my father-in-law. So, Pa, welcome back to this podcast. You have been here before, of course, for the polio episode. Today, we have the privilege to have you again. You know, over to you to explain what do clinical trials or vaccine trials actually mean.
Hi, Sneha, and nice to be back talking with you about COVID vaccines. Primarily, one of the important public health interventions that one considers is a vaccine. And what people would certainly be interested is in a preventive vaccine, because there are some other type of vaccines which are kind of therapeutic vaccines, as in case of rabies, as you are aware. We give rabies vaccine not as a preventive vaccine, I mean, not to a healthy individual who has never had a exposure to a dog bite, but we give it to anybody who has had a dog bite, and then anticipating that probably this person may have been exposed to rabies virus, we start vaccination. The real fun of giving any kind of a vaccine is giving it to healthy persons so that it is able to generate immune response in the host who receives it. And then even when such a person gets exposed to that particular disease-causing agent in future, is able to effectively deal with it. But as you rightly mentioned in your introductory remarks, vaccine doesn't somehow become available one fine morning. It has to undergo various levels of development. Earlier, there were times when vaccine development used to take several decades. Some vaccines took 40, 50 years to develop. Some vaccines took even longer than that. Thanks to greatest advances that have happened in the field of biotechnology in particular, what is now possible is as and when a disease happens and strikes, scientists are able to isolate and identify the organism which causes that particular epidemic pretty soon. And then they are able to even culture it. They are able to put it through multiple passages in artificial media and have a controlled growth. After that, these particular organisms which are grown in laboratory, they are then investigated to figure out what are the elements which are present in their structure which are capable of eliciting immune response.
Okay.
And as you know, immune response can be of two types. First, primary type of immune response is what we call as humoral response, is where whenever we are exposed to any kind of foreign substance, here we call them as microorganisms, as they enter, they are called antigens in our scientific parlance, our body starts reacting by producing antibodies. But sometimes it so happens there are certain types of T lymphocytes, a typical type of white blood cells in the body, that differentiate themselves in such a way that they become capable of neutralizing these viruses or microorganisms of another kind. And this is what is called as a cell-mediated response. One is never sure for new diseases as to which of these two immune responses would eventually be successful. So it is the laboratory experiments, it is some kind of immunological studies in the patients who are affected with that particular disease that tell us or that guide us about what kind of response is really critically important.
Okay.
As far as COVID is concerned, we truly do not know which kind of immune response is going to be important in controlling the infection in human beings. So scientists are proceeding with the basic presumption that they will have to produce a vaccine which is capable of eliciting both types of responses. Having said that, there is a process in which the microorganism, in this particular case, as you know, it is type of a coronavirus.
Right.
So this particular coronavirus is then specially processed in the laboratory. Sometimes full virus itself, live attenuated virus, is used to produce vaccines. Sometimes killed virus is used to produce vaccines. Sometimes it's tiny fragments like subunits. They call it as peptides. They call it as DNA or mRNA. These kinds of segments that emanate from the virus, they are used, and when they are introduced in the body, they elicit the immune response. That's the principle. If you are introducing the whole virus in the body, either live attenuated or killed virus, it would probably elicit the best possible response because it will go more towards the natural infection. But then if you introduce fragments of this particular organism, that particular response may not be as effective as the full virus genome response. But it still, if it still is able to achieve adequate level of immunity, it serves our purpose. The whole idea is it should be adequately immunogenic. And that is when we call it as it should be able to produce adequate level of immunity. But at the same time, it should be adequately safe. See, whenever we inject anything new in the human body, it has to have some kind of side effects. But what we judge is whether these side effects that a person suffers from or is likely to suffer from after getting a vaccine, are they kind of acceptable in terms of the overall benefit the vaccine is going to offer. And all this gets done through a process what is called as clinical trials. But before any clinical trials in human beings are initiated, a lot of laboratory experiments are first conducted. And once these laboratory experiments are conducted, then some animal experiments are conducted. In case of COVID, they are trying hamsters, they are trying mice models. And so if they are found to show good level of immunogenicity as well as safety, initial dosages that could be tried in human beings are decided. And then these vaccines are also tested for their other effects, like whether they are found to be adequately safe, they do not cause any alterations in the DNA, so that eventually they might lead to what we call as ability to produce cancer, they are not integrating with the cellular structure. All these are critical experiments that are done. And once all this is done, we are ready for what we call as clinical trials. And here is where multi-level evaluation in human beings gets started. Phase 1 trials are the most simple ones, in the sense, the smallest ones. I used the wrong word. I should not call them simple ones because they are not very simple to do in the field. They only are done in a very small number of individuals, basically to establish safety of these candidate vaccines which are prepared. Healthy volunteers are selected who don't have any problems by various, either by clinical history, they are all right, and they should also be all right by laboratory evaluation of their various blood samples and other samples. So they have no evidence of any morbidity or disease in them. And once they are proved safe in the phase 1 trials, which are done in very small number of individuals, say 20 to 50 individuals, then they move on to the next phase, what we call as the phase of immunogenicity, and that is done in the phase 2. Here is where we decide the dose response primarily. So at what dose are they really effective? It is definitely not possible to decide the dose that is essentially going to be required in human beings in the first experiment itself. You might have to try 3 or 4 different dosage levels of that vaccine to eventually decide which one is going to produce the best possible immunogenicity. And that's the reason why these phase 2 trials are conducted in relatively larger number of individuals, say 200 to 250, 300 individuals, where the vaccine is tested at different dosage levels and the best dose then gets determined. Once this gets done, then we are ready to move to what we call as phase 3 trials. Phase 3 trials are done in large number of individuals. Actually, this is done in people who are actually susceptible to this particular disease or who are likely to get this particular disease. And so thousands of individuals are then in specific scientific experiments called as randomized controlled clinical trials. They are randomized into different kinds of arms of the study. In some individuals, vaccine dosages are given, or in some cases, equivalent amount of a placebo, which is an inert substance which is given. And then we compare the results in those two groups. But what is seen in a phase 3? Phase 3, we evaluate the ability of the vaccine to actually prevent the disease. And this is what we call as efficacy. So the primary objective or endpoint of a phase 3 trial is to study efficacy, that is ability to prevent the disease. COVID, we are facing global emergency. So probably this is where there is a lot of global thinking going on, that if we go in a very stepwise manner from phase 1 to phase 2 to phase 3, it might take 3 years, 5 years for the whole process to be completed. It will continue to create a huge threat to the human population, wipe out a large population also. So can there be some specific regulatory pathways by which, say, for example, phase 1 and phase 2 trials can be combined? So safety and immunogenicity evaluation can be done in the same study. What would happen then in a comparatively shorter time frame, but involving larger number of individuals, we might be able to get results of a phase 2 trial earlier. And once that gets done, phase 3 trial can be initiated. There is also a possibility that sometimes phase 2 trials can be done of a larger magnitude, and which also provide, in addition to immunogenicity or ability to produce immune response, they give idea about efficacy as well. Phase 2, phase 3 trials also can be combined for getting quicker results. And so these kinds of thinking or these kinds of approaches are being taken. This happened in case of Ebola. This happened in case of MERS earlier. And when it was felt essential that we might have to come up with some kind of novel approaches, when the regulatory agencies came together with WHO and designed some novel ways in which this particular pathway or a roadmap to vaccine can be shortened. After phase 3 trials are done, the vaccines get permission for marketing by the regulatory authority of India. It's called as Drug Controller General of India. The Drug Controller General of India would in that particular case examine all the evidence that has been gathered from the vaccine trials, whether the vaccine is safe, whether it is able to generate adequate immune response, and it is also able to prevent the disease in those who are susceptible to this particular infection. Once that all gets done, it gets a licensure, it gets marketed. That completes phase 3 evaluation. And finally, and at this particular stage, the vaccine then becomes available in the country. It also becomes important to then see. Until now, what we have done is, all this evaluation has been done in an experimental mode. But then it has to be taken to the real life situation. And this evaluation is what we call as a phase 4 evaluation or real life evaluation. It will figure out really, will it work in the real life scenario? So this will continue as a kind of a post-marketing surveillance. So after this particular vaccine becomes available, we would continue to follow it up for a certain period of time to figure out what kind of side effects continue to come up. Are there any serious adverse events like deaths, etc., are reported, or it is safe for human use in the long run? And this completes the process of evaluation of what we call as clinical trials.
Realistically, and this is just a ballpark estimate that I'm asking, how long do you think right now it would take, if you combine all the global efforts, how long do you think there still is till we actually get to the fourth stage and when the vaccine becomes freely available and we can sort of get immunized?
I think here is where I would like to dissect out this we a little bit. See, okay. As far as this, some of these trials are concerned, there is Oxford trial in UK is already in phase 3. And so is a trial by a company called Moderna in United States. And China and Australia are very close to starting their phase 3 vaccine trials of their own candidates as well.
Right.
Which means that in the next year, year and a half, they are aiming at bringing their vaccine in the market. See, and for bringing a vaccine in the market, you don't need to wait for phase 3. It becomes available at the end of phase 3. So that's why scientists are expecting that based on at least these vaccines which have now gone into phase 3, they should be available by late 2021. That's the expectation which people have for sure through getting out of phase 3 evaluation. But now we have to consider these have been manufactured by specified companies which will have their own ability to produce certain number of vaccine doses, which might not be globally sufficient. So whether that will be available for us is an issue. May or may not be available for us at an affordable cost, because we in India, we cannot ignore the cost aspect. We are a large population to deal with and a large population to support and give service to.
Yes.
So emphasis now is being led on local and indigenous manufacture of the vaccine. And it is believed, you must have recently read an announcement from Indian Council of Medical Research along with Bharat Biotech from Hyderabad.
Right.
They have their candidate ready, and hopefully in the next couple of months, their first phase 1 trials will begin. Other candidates in the pipeline will probably start their phase 1 trials in the next 3 to 6 months. In India, we would say that we are behind as far as the global development of vaccine is concerned, but we have made a start for sure. And one thing we have to understand, India is one of the leaders in the global vaccine area. We are considered because a large number of vaccines which are currently being used globally are manufactured in India.
Right.
We have the technology, we have the expertise now, and so scientists are busy in vaccine work. And I'm pretty confident, though, that if not very competitive globally, we will soon be coming up with vaccines. We are not far behind what is happening elsewhere in the world. I'm also anticipating that the regulatory authorities in India would provide some mechanisms to fast track the vaccine development in terms of clinical trials. So there may be phase 1/2 trials. There may be phase 2/3 trials, which will help to reach licensure stage a little early. Very optimistically, I can say that by 2021 end, we might have a candidate probably, which is an indigenous candidate ready for use in India.
Well, amen to that, as they say. I mean, I'm sure that all of us have our fingers crossed for that particular thing to happen. That's the hope. So thanks for sharing the knowledge and thanks for the optimism that the vaccine is going to come to the market soon. So thank you very much once again, and we'll stop here for this episode. We'll come back with more such episodes. So stay tuned.